5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
So you got her pregnant, huh?
You might have to put a little lube on that nipple because...
Showtime! You were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channel is a LinuxTech.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 812 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, hello, hello. And sorry, I forgot I was on mute and I have to go run and calm a crying child. So,
I'll be back. We had Alan and we have Pat.
Happy summer.
Yeah, and we have Joel.
Yo, yo, yo.
Flying Rich.
At the Hughes Outpost, Orlando Command.
Joe.
Dan says he has something for me.
And lurking in the background is Danny Meeks, Minix. If you want to chime in, good to hear from you, sir.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Cool.
Yeah, Joe, I want to say something to you, but not before I had a moment to lament about how atrocious today was. That today should have been like this really easy day, but boy did it turn south really fast. I had two jobs today. One was to do a upgrade of our Couchbase cluster, and the other one was just to sit back and enjoy the whole new deployment process I came up with for our continuous integration pipeline. And both of those had just massive failures today. Utterly disgusting. So if there's nothing more heinous than if you cause a production outage for 3 hours.
That tends to get people upset with you.
A 3-hour production outage that you can't stop, like you can't fix. And it was like it just came totally out of left field. And what I did was the cause of it, and it was one of these things where like I can't stop it. We just gotta get through it. So what had happened was,
did you bring the website down?
Very close. Couchbase 5.5.4 was released 2 weeks ago and it had a fix in there. So version 5.5.3, which we upgraded to a couple months ago, had a bug that was introduced where, and this is an insane bug, right? This is one of those bugs where you're like, how could this happen? So what the bug was is Couchbase has an audit log. So you can turn on audit logging, and what that will do is, like, anytime somebody makes a change to the Couchbase cluster, like changes a password for an account on it, or replaces a node or whatever, it gets caught in the audit log and reported in the audit log. Well, there's a bug in 5.5.3 whereby when you run Couchbase, there's a parameter that you can pass to it for rotating the audit log. And an audit log can be rotated either when it reaches a certain size or after a certain point. The only problem is, like, you can't, like, it's either going to be, if it hits a certain size, it will rotate. Otherwise, it's going to rotate after this amount of time. So you can't turn off the time rotation at all. And there's like a minimum of, I think it's 10 minutes and a maximum of a day or so or something like that. So it's got to rotate in this, like in this frame of this time frame, right? But the problem is, if the audit log has nothing written to it, and it goes to rotate an empty audit log, it has a tendency to crash the node. So it'll crash Couchbase server. And that's a huge problem, right? If one of your nodes in the one or more of your nodes in the cluster crashes because it's trying to rotate an empty log and the cluster goes down or you have problems, that's an issue, right? So they were supposed to have fixed this in version 5.5.4, which was released a couple weeks ago, which was supposed to be released back in March. So we got everything in place to upgrade to 5.5.4, and I did development, no problems. Staging, no problems. Our production environment in our inactive side, no problems. So it came time to do the production side in our active environment. And we've done this in the past. All it is, you're going to replace all the nodes and you're going to remove all the old nodes and you do what's called a swap rebalance. And according to Couchbase's documentation and everything, we were led to believe that when you do a swap rebalance, it really should have no impact on production because it's a background process. And all the other requests or whatever's going on with the cluster take precedence over the swap rebalance process. So if you have a decent amount of activity going on, it's just going to extend how long that swap rebalance is going to take, but it should have no impact on production. And it hasn't had an impact on production in the past. And in fact, the other guy that I work with who's kind of like the lead on Couchbase stuff has done his production servers without a problem. Well, obviously today there was a problem. It caused a 3-hour outage. I don't want to say an outage, so to speak. It wasn't like everything was down, but what was happening was if a change was made against a document or whatever, and a request was made against, you know, two of five nodes in this Couchbase cluster. So two of six nodes in this Couchbase cluster. If a request went to two of the six old nodes in the Couchbase cluster, it would fail. But there was actually 14 nodes in the cluster, six old, six new, two were indexed, which wouldn't get a request. And the swap rebalance process is supposed to account for that, that what ended up happening, and this is something I kind of learned today through observation of how this is working. So in a Couchbase cluster, you have multiple nodes. And in our case, we have six data nodes. And then we have two index/query nodes. So the index query nodes have no documents on them. They don't have the document structure at all. But the data nodes is where the documents are stored. And there's six of those. So we were replacing those six nodes with six other ones. So at the time of the cluster, there was 12 nodes, 12 data nodes, six old, six new, and two index query nodes. And what happens during the swap rebalance is that a bucket, we have four buckets, and a bucket is made up of what are called virtual buckets that exist across the nodes in the cluster where the bucket resides. So in our case, we have six nodes that have six, you know, the virtual buckets of that bucket spread across those six nodes. And in a swap rebalance, what happens is as the new nodes come in and they copy the virtual buckets over to the new nodes, it then drains the old node of the virtual bucket. And so that virtual bucket no longer exists on the old node for that bucket. And when a request comes in from whatever client that you're using, in our case it's Node, the cluster map is supposed to be updated to say, don't send requests for information to this node that no longer has any virtual buckets on it. But apparently that's what was, that didn't happen, right? So we were getting requests coming in kind of like a round robin fashion across all the nodes, and those that hit the nodes that had drained the virtual buckets were throwing an error, and it shouldn't be happening. And this occurred for about 3 hours, and it was aggravating because I couldn't stop it, because you can't stop it. Once you're in this process, you know what's happening is you have six
nodes.
Gotta
wait till it runs.
Yeah, six nodes are coming into the cluster. Six nodes that were already in there are going out of the cluster. It's transferring. If you stop this process now, like, you have nodes, the old nodes have either drained or have lost significant amount of data, which is on
the new nodes. In other words, it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah, it was a huge clusterfuck. So I couldn't stop it. And we just had to wait it through. And the thing was, it was one of those issues where they weren't really losing anything, that they would get an error, and if they repeated the task, it would succeed, right? But it was just, it wasn't pleasant. It upset a lot of people, and it got everybody noticing. And, you know, when you're the person whose actions caused this problem, it really sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to tell them, look. And they're like, why the hell are we doing this now? And it's like, we've done this so many times in the past without a problem. You know, all of a sudden today it's a problem. And you're like, I'm second guessing everything I've done. I'm like, you know, was there indications? How do I know this can be prevented in the future? It's just an ugly situation. You know, and coming out on the other side of it, it still sucks. And what's nice about where I work, right, is it's a crappy situation, and what's going to end up coming out of this, obviously, is we're going to have a postmortem, but we have blameless postmortems, is what it is. It's like, all right,
and then they tie you up.
Yeah. So the postmortem is going to be like, what did we learn from this, and how do we move
don't
forward
in the
future?
Don't let Dan do things.
Right? Yeah, don't let it. So what I've learned from this is basically, look, here's the situation. Like, and I don't know how closely you guys have been paying attention to this, but Google has been having one hell of a time in their East region. Which is the East Region 4, GCP East 4. That
It was last weekend where they actually had considerable parts of their architecture that was just down.
Right. So
yeah, it affected the other podcast that I'm on.
Yeah. So they've been having, in particularly in Northern Virginia region where they have their data centers, been having extreme amounts of problems. It's largely related to the expansion, like a lot. They've expanded really fast. There's been a ton of new stuff that has been spun up in their East region. And it's impacted us for about 2 months now. Like, around Wednesday of the week, the East region starts having all sorts of problems. So 2 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, we failed over from our, like, East being active to our West region being active. And so we're running out of West right now, which is Oregon, I think it is. And the East region, Northern Virginia, is our passive region. But anyway, that's where we're at. So what this has taught us is, going forward from here on out, like, ideally, what I was kind of going for was, we generally run out of the East region, but because of these issues and we switch traffic over, East is free. So I upgraded East last week, and I'm like, as soon as we switch over back to East being active and West the passive region, I want to upgrade West. But everyone was like, you know what? We don't need to wait. We've never had a problem before. Let's just do it, right? And we did.
Famous last words.
Yeah, famous last words. And now we're not going to do it again like that, right? Not at all.
Do you have to develop a deployment plan and a rollback and, you know, go before a committee and discuss your deployment plan and get approval?
That is an excellent question, and there, the way you describe it, no, but we generally, you know, create a process, test it, document it, analyze it, and
see anything so, in production, even if I'm spinning up a VM, it's got to go before a committee. It's got to get approval. There's got to be a communication plan that's approved. A rollback plan's got to be approved. If there's going to be any kind of an outage, we got to specify, you know, what size outage it would be, you know, number of users impacted by the outage. All of those things have to go through an approval process.
Okay, so partially, it's not necessarily like an official of like approval process, like you're saying. We have a process in place. There really isn't in this situation. There really isn't a decent rollback. But like I said, based upon having done this in the past, we were banking on that. The results being the same as it was in the past. So it's not like,
oh my gosh, he's done it 100 times. Who cares?
You know, it wasn't like I arbitrarily decided to do this. It was something that was scheduled, that was agreed upon, and that we elected to move forward with, and it was announced, right? Well in advance. It wasn't like I just got up this morning and said, I'm going to do it, and here we go. So, yeah, in that regards, it was all planned out and scheduled, and there wasn't supposed to be a production impact, but that wasn't the case. And so when I say production, like I do a lot of back-end stuff, and this was back-end stuff problems that was in, there were internal tools, not the external facing website that customers go, like there's two levels of customers. We have people who come to the website and consume the material on the web, content on the website, and then we have, like, my customers are primarily the people who generate the content. They use those tools to generate the content for the website. Those are the customers that I primarily deal with. They were the people who experienced the problems. Like, and to some regards, that's even worse than sometimes having external customers just consuming it, because they're trying to produce it, the content that's consumed by people, and what we're doing is impacting that. So to answer your question, Rich, yes and no. We don't have to go through that rigorous of a vetting process, but we have, by and large, vetted out the process over a more extended period of time, which it should produce these results, and this is what has happened in the past repeatedly. Therefore, what you describe, the first time around, yes, but repeated processes don't usually have to go through that, you're saying.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, so it's one of those things where going in the future, like from now on, absolutely not. If they say to me, let's just do it, it shouldn't cause a problem, I'll be like, no, let's wait.
Remember last time?
Yeah, let's wait.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, if we're not having a problem right now, let's not jeopardize it in chance counting. That's the lesson I'm taking away from this one, right? We can do this at any time, waiting another week or two or whatever. The problem is, you know, with our East, like being able to switch back to the East environment is very difficult right now because of the extenuating circumstances of the problems that Google Cloud Computing has been having in the East Region 4 environment, which is Northern Virginia. So, you know, that happened, and at the same time that had happened, we had an issue with our deployment pipeline, our continuous integration pipeline built through Jenkins. One of the issues that I had tried to provide a bit of a bandage to was particularly one of our applications, which is our biggest one, our CMS. Whenever somebody makes a change to the application and does a... So the way that the process works is when you're making a change or an update to the application, you check it out and you create a branch off of the Git repo. And once you do your updates and whatever you need to have done, you create a PR from that branch against the master branch, which kicks off a testing process inside of Jenkins, where it checks out the repo, it builds a container image for testing, it runs the various tests, which are unit, linting, integration, and then there's like security testing and UI testing and all sorts of other kind of testing depending on the application. And once that's passed, it then builds it merges the code in. It says, hey, these are all passed. Somebody looks at it, says, okay, merges it into the master branch, goes through a process of building the production container and pushes that out to Quay, and then deploys it out to our development environment. So that's how that works. Now, the problem that we have is in our main application, our big application, which has the most expansive testing in it, there's a problem in there where testing is inconsistent. You can run this test 3 times to get different results. Like one time it'll fail, another time it'll fail a different way, and the third time it'll pass. So there's something going on in there that we need to figure out and solve that problem. But what I had worked on, what they had requested, is the huge time sink here, in addition to the testing, is building the images. So we build the testing image and we build the production image. And every time that the continuous integration process starts, it builds the test image and then it tests it out. And if that succeeds, then it builds the production. But at the same time it's building the test image, it builds some of the components for the production image. That aside, so what they wanted to have happen was, is there a way that we could share the test images between PRs if they're like the same? You know, why do we need to constantly rebuild the same image over and over again? Is there a way we could reduce that time? We're talking a good 15 minutes here, right?
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes to a half an hour. So I built a process that allows you to pull a test image, like build the test image once, push it up to Quay, and pull it down based upon, you know, 2 files and whether they have changed. And, you know, that process, I can only test so far because our deployment pipeline process is once the testing process succeeds, then you have to merge the code into the repo, the main master branch, at which point it checks it out again, builds the image, tests it one more time if it needs to, but it builds the master image, the production image, and then pushes it to Quay. So the part I couldn't test was that master building process part, the production build process, because it requires you to merge the actual code to the master branch. But in addition to that, there are 2 other things that happen. When the master branch is updated, it goes through another process that it bumps the version of that application up there. So it It builds the master branch, bumps the version, and then bumps the version and commits it back to the master branch in GitHub. But there's a library dependency that a lot of these applications have at its core. And if that library dependency, which we call libgeronimo, gets updated, it needs to kick off a job to update the libgeronimo module in every single one of the applications that are dependent upon libgeronimo. So it kicks that process up and checks out a branch that upgrades libgeronimo and then creates the new container and push, you know, writes it back to the master branch and builds a production container. That's where I noticed that there was a problem happening today, which in conjunction of trying to figure out the couch-based problem, I had to try and figure out what was causing that continuous integration branch to fail repeatedly when the libgeronimo was being updated. So it was a nice day of really complex failures in two processes that I had contributed to heavily. Not fun. Know what I'm saying, Joel?
Gotta love the cloud, huh?
But to close off everything and bring it back full circle to our friend Joe Bourne, this is where I get into you, sir. Are you there?
Joe who?
Wait, what's your last name?
Boylan.
Boylan. Why do I want to say Bourne? Joe Bourne. That's the
Neuros guy.
Yeah, Neuros. It's Joe Boylan. So Mr. Boylan, I see that you wrote an article that came out a couple days ago called "Scientific Linux and Antigros Are Shutting Down. It's Time for Linux Mint to Go." Right?
No, I posted that. I did not write it.
I was like, and I know you're on the Linux Mint, you know, the Linux Mint podcast. I'm like, how do you feel about that article, sir? What do you think?
Well, you know, that article had some points in it. I'm not going to say that they were good points, but about the fragmentation of Linux in general, and I think the reason that Mint was picked as a target was because it is one of the more popular spins of Ubuntu that's not...
Well, and it's based on, you know, something Ubuntu. That... Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, you talk about fragmentation of Linux, you know, I just ran into, like, I started experimenting with I have a old PowerBook G4 12-inch, a machine Dan has had one of those. I had one in the past. I had bought one, like, for $50, I think it was, on eBay a while ago.
Yeah, you so preach, you trader. Let's hear your solution to this one.
There is no solution.
Well, you found a solution. I saw.
Yeah. Well, I actually, it's got Ubuntu back on it again.
It does? Because
part of them. Yeah, I just.
Oh,
put it back
I thought
on
you
it.
Were still. I saw that you got FreeBSD running on it.
OpenBSD.
OpenBSD. Yes.
OpenBSD. FreeBSD. I couldn't get the boot for some reason. I don't know why. But I was trying everywhere I can find it, because part of the problem is most of your mainstream distributions have put PowerPC out the pasture. Okay, so you have some choices to get something on there that's actually came out in the last, well, since 2016. Years. Yeah. So 2016, 1604 is the latest Lubuntu version that works on it. Okay. Works very well, actually, surprisingly enough. So I came along two different distributions, one called I think it's Adelie, A-D-E-L-I-E, Adelie Linux.
Adelie?
Maybe. Yeah, anyway, so basically that one actually runs a fairly relatively recent kernel. I believe it actually runs 5, if I remember right. But part of the problem is it's very much like Linux from scratch-ish, kind of. There's no installer. You have to sit there and manually copy stuff over and do, you know, all off the live disk. And they actually were working on one called Horizon, but they have since suspended it because they don't have enough developers to work on it. hence part of the problem of supporting PowerPC. So that one kind of was a fail. Then I tried Void Linux. Void Linux actually installed very nicely. I had kernel 5 on it, but there was not one X app, one X Windows environment that would actually work. Void Linux supports it. It's there's nothing there.
My wife is giving me such a horrid, dirty look.
Uh-oh.
I got this new keyboard with some MX Cherry Blues.
Clicky, clicky.
And I was typing away at it. She's just looking at me like she wants to stab me. And I can't stop laughing.
So, Void Linux worked well. Probably be fine if you just need it to be a server, which I don't need it to be a server. I was trying to... One of the reasons I was trying to get it working more modernly is because I would actually like to take that machine to Lint to self next week, but that's probably not going to happen. So then I tried OpenBSD. OpenBSD went on really well, too, and worked pretty well. OpenBSD 6.5, which actually didn't come out all that long ago, it went on there, but I hated the default X Windows environment, so I tried switching it to like XFCE, multiple broken dependencies and stuff like that. So I couldn't hack that. FreeBSD, like I said, FreeBSD, I just couldn't get the boot. So then I went back and installed the Lubuntu 16.04, which is probably the most stable that was on there and the easiest to set up to get a functioning environment. The worst thing there is just trying to find a browser that's relatively up to date. The Firefox that comes with 16.04 is like 20 versions behind, you know. So and of course you're not going to get Chrome working on it, but so it'll just remain in my office museum here for the moment.
So I'm curious.
Firefox, you're just not going to throw down the basement stairs with the rest of the stuff that doesn't work?
Firefox might be a little behind, right? But
version 47.
What version is Firefox at right now?
65. Or okay, 66, so it's 67, yeah.
It's a lot behind.
Yeah.
Well,
Graybeard's dead, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm running 67 here right now myself.
And you can't even... Well, if you put the latest Mac OS... Actually, not Mac OS, OS X, that's supported on there is Leopard, which is 10.5.8. And even on that, you can't really get a supported browser on it. I think the best you might be able to do is 10.4 Fox or Arctic Fox.
But
so,
how far back was Firefox 47?
2016.
Yeah, but it should still be relatively functional, right? It's not like you're having to deal with like stuff like Flash and that
general anymore. Web browsing's probably fine. I wouldn't use it to make any e-commerce purchases.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that probably wouldn't. I was gonna say that probably wouldn't work at all. Now I'm thinking about it because it might not support the newer hash marks. Yeah. Well, it supports it. It'll support it, but it'll probably have out of date certificates and stuff like that. Some of the same problems I ran into with my Nokia N810s that I have. But so and I've tried watching YouTube on it. It's just not good for that. Well, you got to think about it. The G4 processor, which was pretty awesome when it came out, was mono. It only had one core. There's only one core on it. So you're talking one core, maybe, I'm trying to think, this one either has 1 or 2 gigs of RAM in it, you know, IDE hard drive.
You know what's...
Basically more power in a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, and even
you
that,
have more
even
power
that
in
leaves
Raspberry
a lot to
Pi.
Be desired, though, too.
Yeah.
What I find interesting about that is if we were having this discussion, like, 6 years ago...
Oh, it'd be nice and supported.
If that Like, the thing would be, everything works great, but all these sites use Flash, and I can't get that damn thing to work in Flash. So all the sites used to work great, but except for the Flash stuff, and now it's like nothing works anymore because I don't have the power to render sites. And they don't use Flash, but it's just, you know, standard stuff.
HTML5.
Is just way too heavy for, you know, the JavaScript and everything is just way too heavy to be practical to use that system.
Well, and one of them, what's worse, too, I mean, as time goes on, there's just going to be less and less of these machines. One of these days, I do need to grab an OS X disk for Leopard and put that back on it, because that's probably what I'm going to do, is just put make it like truly a museum piece and have it running what it originally with the last OS that was originally supported. Because you gotta remember, this is what, 2003, 2004-ish time frame when this thing came out, so I mean, it's pretty damn old. You know, yeah, so it's probably the oldest computer I've got.
We're not talking. We're not talking like 5 or 6 years. We're talking like over a decade old.
No, actually, the machine I'm using is 5 or 6 years old. It's my Dell 17-inch laptop I have with running Ubuntu. Now, granted, it would actually still run Windows 10 just fine today too. Although I rarely boot this one into Windows 10, but you know, but it's 5 years old. See, and that's why I think like today's machines may end up running longer, because you may have, well, especially if anything Intel's going to run longer anyway, because you can just have better support all over the board for any operating system.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dan.
Yes.
Any Pinebook revelations?
The only revelation I have come to is either one, I have to get a new SD card because everything I've tried in this doesn't freaking work, right? Or it's just it's not meant for. I've played around with just the Android that's on there, and it seems nice at first, but like most of the websites I go to just like bring it down to a crawl. And like looking at MeWe and stuff like that is just so slow. And I was thinking it might be better on Linux, you know, see how that goes. But I can't get any of the things that I put on these flash cards.
Amazon is your friend.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know. I gotta wait till I get paid.
Can you boot from USB?
No, I don't think you can.
I tried that and it didn't work either. Like it wouldn't let me boot off the USB. Like I don't. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see a way to choose what to boot from to begin with. It's like if an SD card is in there, it will try and boot from that, and that's where it's just completely failing. Mm-hmm. Like I'll drop the image on there and everything's fine, but when I try and boot, it just will not do anything. It's just a blank screen. So I'm guessing my card isn't supported. All the ones I've tried.
Amazon is your friend.
Yeah, I know. I gotta.
Yeah, get a name brand. Get a SanDisk or something like that. You're gonna do better off than buying Joe's micro SD cards.
What is the one that I have here? The Transcend micro SD. No, that's not the right card.
It's gonna transcend into the garbage can because it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that. Shit. Where is it? Oh man, it's a.
I thought you said it was Micro Center.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, the micro.
Did you say, hey, what do you got you swept up off the floor? I'll just buy a bag of that.
Wait, it is. Well, wait, maybe it's not. It says,
Joe's Emporium of Micro SD Cards.
It says NY on PNY. It's PNY.
Just as bad.
PNY.
I've never had a PNY thumb drive last more than a few weeks. And so the damn other it, one, I should have got the RMAs and sent them back.
Oh shit! I didn't even look. I think the other one was Micro Center. I put the other one in my phone. Like I'm like it working great in the phone. So whatever. Until it doesn't work, and then I'm like, 3 weeks later, I'm like, why the hell is my phone not working properly? Because this shitty ass monitor. So I definitely, yeah, I would like to get, I need to do that so I can get this back to you. Because I'm like,
yeah, no rush.
I'm hogging it up here. I mean, I like it. I'm like, that's
it's like a perfect form factor, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's like, oh, I'm like, I was loving it until I tried browsing websites with it. I'm like, oh man, this is dog slow. Maybe Linux will be better. I can't get a fucking Linux thing to run on it. And I can't. I'm like, it can't be me at this point. It's got to be the SD cards because everything I've tried, I've gone through the same steps that everybody else has gone through, and it's just it doesn't do anything. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I think one, the Pine Book. Whatever the Pine guys do, I love. First off, the Pine Book, $100 for a 14-inch laptop that, or you know, Chromebookish laptop, let's say. If it had a backlit keyboard, better speakers, and a better trackpad, it would be killer.
Yeah, trackpad's ass.
They're so close.
Yeah, whatever happened, it would stick on me, and you know, it's like, you know, that thing I treated better than most of my machines when it was here, so it wasn't me, but I never really can get the trackpad to work as reliably as I'd like.
But, well, it was a low precision trackpad.
Yeah.
Serious, if they had a premium version of that was $50 more, I would have paid the $50 more.
Easy.
And I don't, what is the big deal about a backlit keyboard? Even today, if you look through, it's hard to find a 14-inch Chromebook that has a backlit keyboard. I got a USB lamp on a bendy stock that I use.
So you're looking for a backlit, or you don't care about a backlit?
I'm very happy with my Acer 14-inch Chromebook. That's probably, you know, like 2016 vintage. I really don't have any intention of upgrading from it unless somebody had like a crazy bargain deal on something that had, you know, backlit keyboard.
Prices are insane.
Pinebrook Pro is going to have a USB-C, USB Type-C port, which is awesome.
Yeah, and let's see, it's June, so we should be seeing some action there.
Yeah, there was an article on OMG Ubuntu talking about it.
You know what gets me, Rich? I like a
candle the height of your butt.
There we go. I like a backlit keyboard, but I'm like, man, I hate it when I can't change the color of the LEDs.
that doesn't bug me.
I wouldn't care if they're purple or pink. I just want a backlit keyboard.
I'm like, I got a backlit keyboard right here. On like most of my machines have a backlit keyboard. I'm like, I really wish I could change it from white to like red. Or blue, or something cool like that. But
buy yourself a Corsair keyboard.
The keyboard for my Surface Pro, it's probably right about the same thickness of that one on our beloved Jide tablets that we used to rave about. But it has a backlit light on it too, so.
Yeah, what is the magic on a backlit keyboard?
It just helps you see. I guess we're just not touch typists. I don't know.
Well, all right. First off, the Chromebook. I don't think it has any thing you can feel on the keys. Like, isn't the L key and the K? Yeah, there's nothing you can feel there.
Don't even have a dot on your F and your J key.
Yeah, it's the F and the J, right? Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing.
So, you see, and so many people are saying that Chromebooks are the future.
They are.
I don't know. Maybe if you don't use your computer to make anything, you know?
And most people don't. Right.
I'm trying to remember, because I saw an article I want to talk about. Who was the guy we had on? What was the laptop? He was, what was it called? What's the name? Something him. I can't
Pure
remember.
OS?
What. Pure, that's it.
Pure?
And wasn't there something else? It wasn't
Purism.
Purism or...
And they just released the Pure-ism
social networking based on Mastodon?
Yes. Which I kind of read that and I was like, they already have 3 million people? Oh. It's because it's just Mastodon. Federated off of Mastodon. Okay, I see where they're coming from. Good on them.
Look, I'm all in. Sounds good. Okay, so here's the story. Purism introduces a new, not new, network. Oh, a new social network named Librem Social. So, yeah, that's where it says there's already 2 million users. You know, Librem Social is part of, all right, that's how they phrase it.
Okay.
Is part of a network that has 2 million users. That's right,
otherwise
2 million.
Otherwise known as Mastodon, right?
Right, otherwise known as Mastodon.
See, and they could say that because Mastodon is federated.
Because it's the third paragraph down where it says Mastodon.
That's like saying, that's like counting every Laconica site as an Identica site. Remember Laconica? What is it now? What is Laconica now?
Gone? I don't know.
Yeah, gone. Probably.
Does anybody use it? Anybody but 5150 and Greybeard using it? Let's see if they're paying attention. I bet you more Dancy's probably using it. Laconica.
Greybeard's just using it. What?
More
Dancy's. Hey, Fitty asked me to mention something. He said he's coming out of the closet and he's gay.
Good on him, man.
Yeah. No, what he actually wanted me to say is that KansasLinuxFest.org is August 9th through 11th at Wichita State University.
Oh, hey, speaking of 50, I got to meet him and Mordency and Minix at Texas Linux Fest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Nice.
Boy, those guys are getting around.
What did you think of Texas Linux Fest?
I thought it was great. It was my first Linux Fest, so.
Yeah, mine too.
Wait.
I had a good time.
Danny Meeks, where are you from?
I'm from Texas, from Dallas. Richardson, actually.
He lives right around the corner.
Okay.
I live down the road from Joe. All
right, nice. So Texas Linux Fest was your first. So tell us about Texas Linux Fest. You know, because it's almost not... It's difficult to ask you about Texas Linux Fest because I don't think either one of you have. Well, Danny, you haven't, but I don't think, Joe, you've been to Ohio Linux Fest or Southeast Linux Fest.
No, I haven't
been
to any
other
fest to make a comparison.
I'm curious. So tell me about Texas Linux Fest.
Well, it was interesting. You know, they had different talks, basically classes on Friday and then 45-minute fast talks on Saturday. And you had all your tables set up with, Linode was there, Red Hat was there, four of the local lug groups were there all at one table, Jupiter Broadcasting was there, got to talk to them, that was pretty cool.
Wait, who from Jupiter Broadcasting was there?
Chris was there, and
oh, really?
So was Elle. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's right around the corner from Linux Academy, so...
Yeah, I posted the links to the presentations and the schedule and the Mumble.
Wait, is Linux Academy out of Texas?
Yeah, like.
So did
yeah.
Did Chris move down to
no,
Texas?
No, he does come this way a lot. Evidently, if you listen to his podcast, he still lives where he was living before, but he comes down here whenever in work requires it. And honestly, they're doing a lot of traveling to all of the fests, all the Linux fests, they want to have a presence at.
Because I know, like, Noe would show up at Southeast Linux Fest every year. Good on them. Anyway, you were saying, I didn't mean to derail talking about Texas Linux Fest.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, like I was saying. Talked to Jupiter Broadcasting a little bit at the Linux Academy booth. Went to a couple of different talks on containers, Kubernetes,
was really good,
and Ansible. What was that, Minix?
Containers one was really good. I learned a lot.
Yeah. And that was given by L from Jupiter Broadcasting. Or Linux Academy, as it were.
Did More Dancing give you anything cool?
Well, he's sending me a shirt. He's sending me a Tilt shirt, and it's supposed to be mint green.
Okay. A Tilt shirt? I've never even gotten a Tilt shirt.
More Dancing usually has some really cool shit that he like gives away.
Yeah.
And so he
was a really cool guy to hang out with.
Last year I got a Brazilian energy drink.
From More Dancing?
Yeah.
Should have just stopped it with you got a Brazilian.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, really. More Dancing. Dan ended up the end of that.
Yeah, he talked about his how he made that energy. You know, he was getting with Dave Yates to make that energy drink, actually.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. So's 5150. I'm gonna sell him out. I enjoyed meeting 5150.
Yeah, and I'm gonna miss you, Donald.
But you know what? you don't know Fitty until you cuddle with him and spoon with him.
No.
Yeah, we had to go to the hotel and get 50 for Saturday. Drag him out of the hotel room.
Was he passed out?
Yeah, he fell back.
What you had to do with Dan?
Yeah, evidently the night before he went to the Jupiter Broadcasting barbecue. So at heart eight. So.
Yeah, and I just want to say, Fitty defended my honor at what was it, Ohio Linux Fest, when that guy was trying to kick in the door.
I forgot about that.
That was
I think it was also the same year that Dan was walking back from the bar backwards with his tag hanging behind his shirt, and he was very drunk.
Was I? Why was I walking backwards? You know? I was very drunk. This seems like a terrible idea.
I don't
idea.
Know, man. You were
when you're drunk. It doesn't sound like a terrible idea.
Oh, I guess not.
My two favorite drunks. Dan is a real good drunk. He's definitely an honorable mention. But my two favorite drunks at Linux Fest are Dor and oh gosh, what's his face? Why can't I remember his
Jonathan
name?
Nadeau?
Jonathan Nadeau. Yeah. Jonathan and Dor, they are funny as all get out when they're together and drunk.
I just remembered like Dan the year you showed your butt to Jono.
Wait, which one?
You yeah, I know.
Wasn't just a Jono, it was the entire show.
Yeah, it was. Actually, that would have been the second time in the same show.
Yeah.
Greybeard says, which butter, which Jono?
Jono Bacon.
Jono Bacon. And I don't think, I think the actual picture of my ass never made it anywhere beyond Jono's phone.
Well, that was, the picture on his phone was probably over at Barley's, I think.
Yeah, that was at Barley's.
And for a while, the one you did in front of everyone was on YouTube.
Isn't it still there? I don't know.
Somebody found that and posted it.
I mean, I'll look around for it.
Yeah, but ever since my night with Fitty, I used the chain and locked the door at the hotels.
Why was somebody trying to break into your room?
It was like a former employee. Yeah, it was like a former hotel employee, and he had like the the pass key. And I don't know what the heck. I think he was just looking for an empty room, either to trash or hang out in or something. I don't know.
Texas Linux Fest was a good time, though. Yeah, it was nice meeting everybody. You always hear podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Mordency was really nice, and
he is.
5150, he was real friendly too.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, back when we actually had tables at the Linux Fest, which is many, many years, Mordency used to make the t-shirts. So,
yeah, he still has a lot left. So.
What? He made a bunch that he was selling on his Silver Eclipse website. So, yeah, I don't think I have, I have a couple that I had to make for him.
You got a large left?
So I think the next time, if we ever do shirts again, I would kind of like something a little bit less t-shirty. T-shirts are cheap though, so that's kind of why you always get those at the Linux Fest.
Oh man, last t-shirt I bought was $30, and I think $20 is a lot of money.
What? I spent $50 on the Southeast Linux Fest t-shirt that I'm gonna get next week.
Well, that's
it's more than that though.
Right.
They had a bunch of the Texas Linux Fest t-shirts left over. Initially they were only giving them to people that had paid $60 tickets, but by the end they were just trying to get rid of them. So you could even get ones from last year.
I just pasted they have updated the Southeast Linux Fest website. That's the t-shirt for this year. It looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Matrix.
Yeah, that's.
Last year's was great too. I loved last year's, with the last year, since it was the 10th anniversary, they had
The dude. The Linux Abides or whatever it was.
It was what was it? The Big Lebowski theme.
Yeah.
10 pins and bowling, because 10, you know.
There's Joel and his Kegler and Keglerism. He loves it.
That's the first time. I don't remember Linux Fest ever doing a Matrix t-shirt before, but that looks cool.
Yeah, not the ones that I've been to.
After next show, I'll be finishing packing this laptop up and getting up in the morning to head down to Charlotte. Gonna enjoy the drive morning and the afternoon. I'm not gonna rush to get there, you know, because that's never a good idea anyway when you're driving, especially if you're driving through the mountains of West Virginia, like I will be, but. So I'm just going to try and make a leisurely drive down south.
Doing DMR or D-Star?
Probably D-Star because I don't have a Zump spot yet.
Dude, what the hell? Get one.
I know, I need one. I need one. But I am taking now I'm debating whether I want to 3D print it again, because the little frame thing I have made to hold the DVAP, the Pi and the battery, I made it on my older 3D printer, so it's not as smooth as I'd like it. If I remake it on the
there's this thing called sandpaper.
Yeah, well, I don't really care to sand something like this. It doesn't need to be sanded. It doesn't have to look good. But I would do wish it did look a little bit better, but. So I probably won't do that, but
yeah, remember what you brung.
Yeah, but what I have done in the last few days is that I've taught myself how to put threads on some of my designs. So I made a little container that can hold things that has a lid that screws on and off.
Well, that's cool.
So
mine is still in pieces and probably will be until I get a chance to fix it.
Yeah, I had a couple of listeners tell me that I should get an air horn, and then every time Joel mentions a 3D printer,
just set it off. No, people say things like that to you also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's been mentioned.
I said that.
Wait. Danny, do you have a 3D printer?
No.
Well, you know what? You'll change your tune when you get a 3D printer, won't you?
Yeah.
I want to 3D print a GIMP mask with a locking zipper on it so I can put it on Joel whenever he talks about 3D printing.
How's he going to get it on over his other GIMP mask?
But I'm bump. Tough crowd tonight.
Woo! Dude, that's my job. That's... Wow, alright.
Sorry, Rich.
Don't worry, you're still a dick.
I didn't mean to be stealing your thunder.
Yeah.
I'll say, don't worry, you're still a dick, but anyway.
Yeah, look at that.
Like I keep saying, stick with what you're good at.
He's our dick.
And Dan's our ass.
Dan, I hope you're getting all this on audio here. This is more of the clip show stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't been to a Linux Fest if you haven't rode in an elevator with Dan Stench.
If only we could reprint that.
Puts hair on your chest.
Can we put all of our podcasts through like some Google tool and get a transcript of it and then cherry pick the text we want?
That sounds like work.
Isn't that
There's
supposed
gotta
to be
something?
No, I thought that was supposed to be happening.
Maybe you need to write something in TensorFlow.
Anyway. Or at least in the future, it's supposed to be happening automatically anyway.
You need to do something with TensorFlow with that, Rich. You're the developer of the bunch.
Now, believe it or not, I'm just pulling up some TensorFlow VM right now and exporting it. Uh-oh, failed to import.
Play music.
Well, it's funny. I was browsing the social webs, and you get ads and stuff on Facebook. One of the ads I saw was for Walmart, and they were selling the Intel's neural compute stick thingy.
No frickin' way.
Yeah, it was like $90.
What's the compute stick?
It basically looks like a Roku, but it'll run Windows 10.
Why would you want to do that?
This is different than that.
Oh, it's not the Intel compute stick?
The Movidius. That runs Windows 10? I don't think it runs Windows 10, because I think you can plug it into a Pi.
Because the compute stick was something you just plugged into a TV.
No, this is different. That's what I saw an ad for. But then again, Walmart is at least with their online presence is turning very much Amazon-like in that they'll sell stuff from pretty much anybody.
Yeah, they're selling stuff from like Alibaba.
Yep. The Neural Compute Stick 2, developers looking to prototype or continue to productize their offerings can review blah blah blah. Intel distribution of OpenVINO toolkit exports the Intel Movidius Neural Compute Stick and the Neural Compute Stick 2, blah blah blah.
Wait, are you talking about Movidius or are you talking about something different?
Movidius.
What's the Movidius run? Is it? It says Microsoft technology, right?
Well, no. What I've read on it was you can actually plug it into like a Pi or anything running Ubuntu.
And what'll it do?
Basically, it's supposed to help you learn how to write stuff with AI.
What they're doing is, let's see, there's TPUs, like TensorFlow processor
VPUs,
units,
right?
And they're supposed to be, you know, just kind of like a GPU is for floating bit operations, floating point operations, sorry. The GPU, TPU is supposed to be helping you with TensorFlow processing.
Yeah, and actually, this actually supports TensorFlow and Caffe, I think, frameworks. Compatible operating systems, Ubuntu 16.04. I tell you what, that LTS of Ubuntu is getting mileage. Ugh. Even though it's been eclipsed by 18.04. But that 16.04 Ubuntu is what the Xenials... Well, it's Xenials. Xenials RS. So... That's the Ubuntu that also runs on the Pi as well, so... Yay! So I'm not going to spend $90 on that, because I have no desire to do that.
Well, on the Movidius?
Yeah, well, I'd have much better or get much more mileage out of learning how to work with AWS and Amazon's Aurora and Amazon RDS.
Are you doing that now?
No, oh. I need to. Our company is starting to use that a lot.
For what? Like, what's the practical application for those things?
That we host, like, if a college decides to host, they want to host their system on our cloud. Our cloud essentially is AWS. So,
I thought you were talking about machine learning and stuff like that.
Oh no, not for machine learning.
I thought you were talking about the stuff that Modivius was doing.
No, I'm talking about stuff that's going to make me money. The AI stuff probably wouldn't make me money.
Yeah, so you're talking about moving them to AWS. You might want to hold off on moving them to GCP East Region 4 for a little while until they get that worked out.
That's the truth. So, see, the first keynote for Southeast Linux Fest, I need to figure out who that is. Oh, Eric Raymond. He's the first keynote for the Southeast Linux Fest. So,
what's his talk called?
Schedule. Long-term trends in open source. He was there last year, and he's just fun to talk to.
What's he done recently? I haven't seen much. Not that I've been paying attention to him in particular, but I was just curious.
Pontificating? I don't know 100%. I mean, he's getting up there in age, I know that.
So yeah, that's what he's been working on. This website was updated November 19th, 2016, so it wasn't that.
All right. Too bad I haven't studied for my extra class license exam, because I could try taking that there, but I'm not ready. Nowhere close to ready.
Yeah, I know. I keep looking at the book, and that's about as far as I get looking at the book.
Well, I'm one of those weird, you know, I'm not like some of the, there's a lot of people that will go through and memorize that freaking book. I don't want to memorize it. I want to know it, because if you know it, if all of a sudden you don't get your test in and they switch the testing pool up, you're still going to know the material. Because the material doesn't change, just the questions.
I was going to say, they only change like one or two questions.
Well, yeah, it's true. But and they also add things, like, I'm sure there's more on the digital modes, like D-Star and DMR and System Fusion. And
Probably not at the extra now.
My favorite though is in a couple of the ham radio groups. They'll say, "Well, what's the best digital voice mode?" I'm like, I really don't think any of them are better than the others. I think it's going to be, what do you have in your area that you're going to use?
For me, the Fusion stuff sounds really nice.
It does.
Nice and clear.
I don't really...
use it off a hotspot, so, I mean, as long as I get a decent internet connection, I'm good to go.
There are no Fusion machines here in Columbus.
Yeah, but you can use the YSF rooms.
Right. But they're
which
all...
Which is what everybody uses anyways.
Well, the one club I used to belong to all the time, the biggest, highest profile machine they have, they recently... It still has analog, but they also support a P25. So I'm wanting to get some P25 gear.
Yeah, you can buy the Motorola license to get it programmed.
Got to get the clone plugs.
You still need to know somebody who has the software to program the Motorola software to program those radios.
Yeah, it's probably like DMR used to be. It's more of the black DMR used to be the only way you could run it up until not all that long ago was to buy Motorola DMR gear.
Yeah.
But nowadays, $60 and you got a radio ditty.
That or like so, I got one of those Kinect systems. It works real nice.
Or Titerra or.
Yeah.
You know, I would kind of want, like I said, I really want that R-Finder one. I know.
The only thing about that one is, you know, again, because it's a cellular phone as well.
Right.
Get obsolete really fast.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, well, and it may, I don't know if they've, I mean, if you look on their pages, it has Android 6, that's out of date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If there's a firmware update, then that takes you at least to Oreo. That would be okay. But
yes, that's my only issue with that kind of radio. I mean, it's a great idea. I would love it. But
yeah, and most of the radio companies are a little bit farsighted when they look at putting memory in there. They don't put enough in. So.
Renaming audio files is a pain in the ass.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, what's up?
Wait, where was it? More Dancy wanted us to let you know. Oh, shit, where was it? I just read it. Oh, he does not have Kelly Green shirts left, only dark green.
That's cool.
Well, now, More Dancy.
I will still be quite happy with it.
Get him a damn shirt, right? Joe, you could don't sugarcoat it. You could be angry. Say,
and I still cannot believe that there's such a thing as HearstCon. That's what 5150 is going rather than Southeast Linux Fest. He went to Southeast Linux Fest, yeah.
No, didn't he go to HearstCon last year?
He didn't have the Hearst last year.
What do you do at HearstCon? Just like
hang out with hearses? Come on,
probably I guess
the same thing you do at most car shows, basically.
Same thing as a cars and car coffee, with the but all hearses.
With the hood, is that like in a parking lot of a funeral home? Is that where they have it, HearstCon, or a graveyard?
Oh, maybe you posted a link to it because I remember seeing a whole bunch of pictures. Oh, Murph joined the chat.
Yeah, fucking Murph missed the show. Too bad for him. Now he's got to listen to HearstCon.
Not sure what happened there. I just crashed out.
You should drive a hearse, Rich. It'd give it like
only
space.
If it's super fast.
It gives space for your bird to hang out in the back. You could like run
right,
around.
You could
the
fly
back.
Around while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Bear back.
How's the bird doing?
No, he's good. He's hanging out with right here. I put a perch on my desk so he can, you know, sit. He likes to be close, so.
Did anybody else get kicked out? Because I didn't. Pat did, it looks like.
Kicked out of what?
I. Mumble just suddenly kicked us out.
Huh.
Disconnected and came back again.
Yep.
I didn't get kicked
out.
Yeah,
Mordancy said he got kicked out too.
Let him Google.
Murph said he missed the show. The show's not over yet, as far as I know, although we should work on making it over.
It'll be over soon.
Actually, it will be for me, because I'm going
to
take off.
God, to hell with you, Alan.
Because Alan's a pumpkin.
Well, you know, I got some like clothes in the dryer I got to go get.
So. Wait. Isn't that, I mean, you're not married, but isn't that why there's a woman on the house?
I've been doing my own laundry since I was in my teens. It's just easier that way. I don't have to deal with...
I prefer to do my own laundry.
I don't know if... Well, my wife takes vengeance on my clothes and, you know, pours, like, battery acid on it. And she's like, oh, I don't know what happened.
I'm not really? Bad on stuff, but...
But my wife always tells me, oh, that's man's work. You know, and what about this? Oh, that's man's work. What about this? Oh, that's man's work. I'm like, so what's woman's work? You let me know. Somehow she hasn't come up with any.
The work is telling you what you need to do.
Right. That must be it.
Damn. You know, that's interesting. It's a good question there, Rich, I have for you now that I think about it. When you are, so do you save your laundry and go home and do it when you get home, or do you do it throughout the week when you're wherever you are?
Yeah, do you know, I meant to do laundry today,
okay,
but I didn't, so I'm going to bring it home.
When you do you stay at a place that has like a washer and dryer, or do you have to go to a laundromat?
No. The place I'm staying at is actually really nice, and washer, dryer, and depending on who's here, I get to use the garage so I can park inside. So that's kind of nice. I'll tell you what happens in Florida. You always get dew on your car in the morning, so and then it's nice being able to see out of all of your windows.
Right.
When you park in a garage.
You know what's interesting, Rich? Here we get dew too, but in the wintertime it freezes.
Yeah, I don't know that freeze thing. That's interesting.
Yes, there's a little twist on it there.
I paid my dues. I spent two years in Minnesota.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, you also grew up in New York too, so.
Yeah, but New York is just like where you're from. You know, no big deal.
Right. Well, when you're going to get something on your car window, it's probably going to be coupled with like a couple inches of snow at least.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw Godzilla, King of Monsters over
so?
The weekend.
Any good? Yeah.
And, well, okay, so... Do you like Godzilla movies?
Yeah, why not? What the heck? I mean, as a kid, I watched all the black and white ones, you know?
If you like Godzilla movies, you're going to like this.
Ah! All
right, so you can't go into a Godzilla movie expecting a highbrow plot or any or decent
or
plot,
Matthew
right?
Broderick.
And you know what? Both my wife and I came away feeling like this. It's like if they would have just get rid of the story, get rid of the people, we don't need a
mecha
story.
Fighting.
It could have been in Japanese, and it wouldn't have mattered.
And we don't need a story. Just get the people out of there. Just all out monster brawl fighting, monster, monster, monster. That's what people want to see. They don't go for the damn story, and they always
Are
you sure this isn't a porno? Or it sounds like you're describing pornos.
Might as well be, right? Give me.
But what the movie Rampage should have been. Rampage. I can't even bring myself to go see that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I didn't see Rampage.
That was awful for most of it.
Well, just looking at the trailer, it's like, okay, the Rampage movie is supposed to be from the video game, and it's like, no.
Yeah, they had to add a lot of story in order to, you know, justify having The Rock on there.
And actually, I was going to say there isn't a movie with The Rock I didn't like, although that's kind of a low one.
Well, you know, speaking of The Rock, he's in, what's that? What's the Fast and Furious franchise movie? What do you mean?
He was in G.I. Joe, which makes sense.
What? What is it, Joe?
That new spinoff movie. I don't remember the name.
So I was like, I was looking at that, and I'm like, I have never.
Hobbs and Shaw.
I have never seen a Fast and Furious movie.
Me either.
Oh, good for you.
Me either. I don't feel like I'm missing
the last one.
I've watched them all.
Greenland or whatever, and oh my god, that was completely unwatchable.
Was it? What do you say, Joe? Are they good?
For what they are, they're good.
I have no expectation. Here's another one. Here's another one. They played the trailer for the new First Blood movie.
I don't think I'm going to watch that one either because I didn't watch the last one.
Have you? So I watched the trailer and I'm like, wait, who the fuck is he fighting in the trailer? I'm like,
He's fighting his horse.
I have no idea who he's fighting.
He's fighting Alzheimer's.
Is that it? Because like, I'm like, it looks like there's government agents coming in to get him. And I'm like, I don't understand the point of this movie. He looks like he's the bad guy in this.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not the bad guy, I have no idea who he's fighting and who's coming after him. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand how it ties back in to First Blood and Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
He's probably fighting arthritis. That's what it is.
I don't know.
Exactly what Jean-Luc Picard will be fighting in Picard.
That's the future. They fixed arthritis.
Oh, okay.
People age gracefully now.
Couldn't they just give you a new body in the transporter?
They could. They could make you younger, too.
They could just fix you in there.
If they had your old, like, scan from one time when you teleported, then they could, like, take your brain and put it in your old body.
There was that one episode where they made, let's see, Picard, Roe, who else? There was a Guinan and...
Were they made all kids or something?
Yes. Somehow it was a transporter accident.
You could also use it for cloning, technically. Just make a million of yourself.
Or you can just take yourself...
Technically you are a clone when you come through.
Right. They destroy you on one side and then make a new one of you on the other side.
Well, Scotty lived to Picard's time by slamming himself in the transporter buffer.
Right.
For what, 80 years?
Because he wasn't able to replicate any hamburgers anymore.
They didn't have enough power.
Now, is the buffer based on SSD or NVRAM?
Every image I've ever seen of transporters in the technical manuals, the transporter buffer looks like a hot water tank to me.
Yeah, I think that's basically what it is.
A hot water tank with some LEDs tossed on.
Yep.
Yeah, what's wrong with all the computers I deal with? There aren't all sorts of blinky stuff going on.
Hey, we're past
Oh, you're not big on the RGB?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean... Really? I got all these computers around me. There's no blinky stuff going on. I'm really disappointed. That's the whole reason I got into the IT field.
You need to build one, man. The blinking lights.
You gotta add your own blinky stuff.
That's the only reason...
Don't you think... So this is the biggest problem with society now. They still, in this current day, have... Where they show computers or processing or something, they show stuff with blinky lights on it. Doesn't everybody know computers don't have blinky lights?
Some of them do. If you had a B-box, it did.
I'm talking 2019.
They called that blinking lights on the B-box back in the day.
Serious, the stupid Mac, you don't even have a light for the hard drive.
My old PowerBook does.
There's no blinky lights on anything. Why do people, it's like, oh yeah, it must be working hard, that computer, because I see the lights flashing on it.
Did you see the ridiculously expensive new Power Mac?
Cheese Grater 2.0?
Yeah, Cheese Grater 2.0. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Except for it's got all new innards.
It's like,
is that better or worse than the garbage can?
I would say better. I'd rather have a cheese grater that I paid a lot of money for, that's stainless steel and aluminum and all that, than a garbage can.
Well, it actually has expansion ports that you've actually heard of, like PCIe, you know?
But why would you spend that kind of money on their crap?
Well, it starts the new one starts at $6,000.
And again, that's more than most of the cars I've ever owned.
the screen that plugs into it is also $6,000, and it's what, I think 6K, I think. I don't know.
If we erase the last three cars I've owned, $6,000 was the most expensive car I owned prior to them.
More than your Genesis? Didn't your Genesis cost more than that?
Well, I had. That's what I'm saying. If we erase the last three cars I've owned.
Oh, I was going to say.
The most expensive car I bought, other than the last three cars, was I paid $6,000 for a 1980 Porsche 924 Turbo.
Right. But I don't know what the core. I think the core count is something ridiculous, like 32 cores, I think, if you max it out on that.
But you can't afford that.
No, of course not, because that's going to be about $40,000 or $50,000 computer. It's not for us, apparently. Just like Captain Marvel wasn't either, but anyway.
Wait, what's not for us? The Mac Pro?
Correct. Yeah, this is for people who have to work on like 8K video.
Who was Captain Marvel for?
That's a good question.
Chicks? SJWs?
Possibly. Anyway, I shouldn't even said that, but yeah, but still.
So this Mac Pro isn't coming out till fall. Right. Is that like some major heat sink they put over top of the processor? Oh, massive heat sink.
That's the handle for the cheese grater.
The handle for the cheese grater.
Well, I will say this: it is. It's Cheese Grater 2.0. I mean, and it's really what they should have came out with when they brought out the trash can one.
So Jobs dies, and there's not an original idea in the whole organization.
I would say yes. And then they since the iOS that runs on the iPad, they're actually going to make it, you know, they're basically going to make it iPad OS, so it's going to actually have a more, kind of make it more like a computer, I guess.
So the only thing iPad. I didn't see mentioned, I'm not that interested that I care, but is there going to be an ARM processor in this new Mac Pro?
Nope, it's all Intel Xeon.
I don't think so. I don't think Apple does anything ARM, do they?
No, they... Well, basically, their CPU is based on ARM. So, the...
For iOS, it's ARM.
Right, but I forgot what it was that they were having ARM processors in them. So they do have machines.
Does anybody want to talk about how fucked over Huawei cluster? Is?
How what?
How what?
How fucked over Huawei is?
I think we talked a little bit about this week, last week, but it's not getting any better for them.
What, Intel's cut them off, man. Google's cut them off.
The SD Card Association, the SD Card Association did, and then they since rescinded that. So initially, the SD Card Association said they weren't going to do anything with them, and then they said, oh, no, we're fine. So, I don't know.
EU isn't selling. I think there's like four vendors left in the EU selling.
The Western world, Huawei is pretty much dead. China,
why would that be?
Not like we could have bought that many Huawei devices anyway.
Well, they're going to have to work on finding a different processor to use, which means basically redoing their entire operating system, which they were going to have to redo anyway because Android said to hell with them.
Right. They were using their own. And Android, technically, they can still use Android since it's Apache license.
Well, they can use the open Android, but they can't use GAPS.
Yep, and they have to use Aptoid for their app store or some other app store.
F-Droid.
Well, that's the obvious one, but no, they're going to go with the one that everyone says Aptoid, A-P-T-O-I-I-O, I think it's I-O-D-E, Aptoid, O-I-D-E, okay, A-P-T-O-I-E-D, but everyone says that app store steals apps from the app store and then redeploys them, so I don't know.
That's the app store that always ships on those Chinese TV boxes you get, those Android boxes.
Yep, correct.
Hey, everybody, good night.
Have a good night, Al.
Good night, Al. 10 minutes late.
I know I am. I just wasn't paying attention to time. But anyways, have a good night, everybody.
You too, sir.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, yes.
As we were before, I gotta wrap things up.
Damn blinky lights.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll see you guys next week. And then for those who are listening, book me up at the South East Linux Fest next Friday.
And where's that gonna be?
Sheraton Charlotte Airport in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Huh. And it's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Although I'm going home Sunday.
Is Fitty going to be there that I can sleep with him?
No. I don't think he is.
Nope, but Murph's going to be there, and that's good.
Isn't More Dancy going to be there?
He is. It's mostly going to be me and fans. Pat was going to go, but unfortunately some family member had to go get married that same weekend.
Yeah, Southeast Linux Fest always comes at a tough time of year for me because it's like the last week or two of school for everybody.
Your dad's not out of school yet?
No, they go...
all of them.
They have... my daughter has.
Oh, your older daughters. That's right.
So they all have classes and stuff till Friday, and then next week are finals, and then like half days for my youngest.
But yeah.
Oh my gosh! It's only an 8-hour drive from Orlando to Charlotte International.
Hey, there you go. Only 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Only an 8-hour drive.
That's like a work day.
Good luck getting a room, though.
Well, I just sleep in my car.
I'll tell you what, Joel. My new Soul Sucker MP3 player has expanded my AUG capabilities, which allows me to once again the episodes of Linux and a Ham Shack are working. So I've been listening to those.
Which MP3 player did you get?
It's the
The
Sulker.
Sulker.
Or Nancy, mute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you, but we hear us back.
You're not using a headset.
Is that better?
I don't know.
We're not talking. No. As long as you don't have your mic up, you're all right.
I don't know how to tell you what it's called now. It's a Sulker, Soulker. It had decent reviews.
It was made in China.
Yeah, they all are.
How do you like the interface?
Oh, the interface is good. I like it. It's a little larger than the SanDisk or the Insignia size. So it's like the size of 2.5 of those. So the screen's real estate is a little bigger. I can read things with my crappy eyes. And the absolute only complaint I would have is that it doesn't auto bookmark like the original clip used to. That if I were to bump, and it's really hard to begin with to bump the controls, but if I were to, you know, bump the control to like move to the next podcast on the older devices, if I went back to the previous one, it would pick up where I left off, and in the newer devices, and this is all of them, just started from the beginning. But that's my only complaint. But other than that, it works great.
Yay.
And if that's it, I'm going to play this out because...
Go for it.
I got to fix problems yet. Anybody else with anything? Make sure you read Joel Boylan's article on how Linux Mint's got to go. Because he's... What was it you said? And I'm sick of doing the Linux Mint cast. And that was it. Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Those are the words that came out of my mouth.
That's next week. Is it this week or next week?
That was this last weekend. So we just posted the show yesterday, so.
Oh wait, Lugcast. Lugcast is like twice a month. Linux Mintcast is once a month.
No.
My mistake.
Mintcast is every 2 weeks and
oh, okay.
Lugcast is the first and third, right? Friday.
Yep. It's what?
First and third Friday.
That's right. All right. So I'm going to play out our promos. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 1 week. Have a good one. And next week, Joel will give us a preview of Southeast Linux Fest. And then the week after, he'll tell us how it was.
Yep.
All right, here are your promos. Enjoy them.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere. for another Linux podcast.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
The Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
Fueled by fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Ugh. Going to gym tonight? But,
so you got to manually put all your podcasts onto that MP3 player?
I do, yes.
Each time?
Yeah.
Well, once. He could leave it plugged into his laptop and then have a script automatically do that for him, but you know, hey.
Or have a script kick off whenever he hooks it up to the laptop.
Yeah, I guess I could, but no, I don't do that. I just transfer them over manually because I don't, like, not everyone I pull down. I
what do you use, Bash Potter?
Yes, I use Bash Potter. I've been using Bash Potter since the beginning.
I don't even know if Link uses that anymore.
I could do Android on my phone, but...
I'm just wondering when we went back in time to 2005.
Right?
Joe, weren't you there when I had discussions as to why I do that?
Yeah. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I hear what you're saying. I think about it all the time. I'm like, man, it would be a lot more convenient, but I don't want to go through the hassle.
Maybe Dan would be the perfect market for the Palm OS phone.
I don't know.
And I mean that. That's an actual device now, Palm OS phone.
But just get a Neptune Pine, which is, you know, a phone that goes on your wrist. And use that as your MP3 player, and then use your phone as a phone.
I've never heard of a Neptune Pine.
He can get the Palm phone, palm.com.
How much is a Neptune Pine?
Let me look. It's been a while since I've seen one. I mean, this was a while ago that it did Kickstarter. Like, years now. Oh, they have it on Amazon. Currently unavailable.
Oh, there you go, Joe. That's the reason. Right there. I can't get one.
I see.
He gets the Palm phone for $350. It's a little Android phone. It's small. 3.3 inches.
For how much? $350?
Yep.
You know how much I paid for my Sulker?
$40. $39.99.
Yeah, $40. And it came with headphones.
Well, like I said, the Neptune Pine's a couple years old. Instead of looking at the Kickstarter page, we got to find somebody that's selling it.
I've seen that phone last year, and it's very small. That Palm phone.
Ooh, Best Buy. This item is no longer available.
What happened?
It was selling in 2013.
It's sold out, man.
I missed my opportunity.
The specification was seen. Another ad I saw on Facebook in the last week was for the iPod Classic. I'm not kidding. It was an Amazon ad. You click on the link and there's none in stock, of course.
$229.99 on eBay.
For the...
The Pine Watch.
That's like $190 more than I'd like to spend on something like this.
Yeah.
That design reminds me of in the 80s. Did you ever see the? I think it was Samsung that made the TV watch.
I don't remember the TV watch. I remember the calculator watch being everywhere.
Well, you don't remember the TV watch because you weren't rich. So that's the only people that would have bought that stupid thing.
Right. Like, even the little handheld portable TVs were expensive as hell.
The little black and white ones?
Yep, the watch band.
No, I meant the TVs.
Yeah, the watch band.
Oh, it was a watch band? Was that black and white?
Sony watch band was, yeah.
Huh. All right, I'm stopping the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel. Not Nugent.
Ted Baxter?
No, Ted Turner. Ted Turner's place. Montana. Ted Turner's. It's Ted Turner's Montana Grill, believe it or not. Yes, the TBS guy. But in there... Like, their little giveaway, like, their little, you know how places bring out breadsticks and stuff? Theirs was, like, pickles.
The fuck does Ted Turner have a grill? Isn't he, like, television?
Isn't he vegan? Jeez.
I don't know if he's vegan or not.
No, like, that's his wife.
Wait, what's the appeal of the Ted Turner grill?
Ted's Montana Grill.
His what grill?
It's Ted's Montana Grill.
It's just, okay. It's just because it's Ted Turner.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put Ted Turner together with food.
Yep. I co-founder food. Ted Turner and George W. McCarroll.
You know what it is? It's probably somebody put up the money and he just put up the name.
Yeah, probably. I'll be right back. Hold on.
It sounds like Dan's taking a dump.
And I think they're still open now, but they're down in the Arena District, right close to one of our favorite places to go as a show, BD Mongolians.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss that again this year.
Are you? Well, we haven't gone in years now.
Well, for the Mongolian Grill?
Yeah.
We went there last time we were there. We didn't go last year.
I did. Yeah, we didn't. I actually, to be honest, I'd kind of rather go to Happy Greek.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good there. Because I can't afford to go anywhere this year, so...
Mm-hmm. Actually, it wasn't buffalo, it was bison. Well, I guess bison's the same thing, though, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've had the bison burger there, and it's delicious. There need to be more places that put venison on the menu, though. And if Dan watched today's, I think it was today's Wolf Pit, he had ostrich burgers.
Those are good.
Never had it yet. I would like to try it.
It all tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
All right. What the fuck's going on?
But it's like the funniest thing ever. One of my kind of favorite places I like to go with the family, because it's good, it's relatively cheap actually, is Texas Roadhouse. Every single time we go, what does my son get? All-American cheeseburger. He doesn't even bother to get a steak.
I haven't been there in years.
They got great steaks, I think.
That's why it's not working. It's an empty file.
And I forgot how expensive Outback was. We went not too long ago, and that place is just ridiculously expensive.
You know, I used to go there. I used to go to Outback once a week, but all of a sudden they shrunk the portions, and I'm like, forget it. I'm done.
Well, if they shrunk the portions, it certainly isn't worth it, because I think the three of us have paid like $50 or $60. It's like...
That's the trend now. They keep the price the same and then they shrink the portions.
And I didn't even have a steak when I went to the Outback Steakhouse. I had salmon. Just because I was in the mood for salmon. And the only way I ever get it is like it. I love it. Put it on wood plank, you know.
And solve puzzles things to get into websites.
Now, I did get a chance to speak to Jeremy Sands from Southeast Linux Fest, and we're not going to have him on before next week. So he's just too busy getting ready for the fest. I am going to talk to him and try and get him to come on somewhat, like maybe a week or two after.
Excuse me if you, I hear a screaming child in the other room there, so since I'm closest, I gotta go figure out what he's afraid of tonight. It's always the same thing, it's the air conditioner. Goes on and off. So, I'll be right back.
Alrighty.
It's time to start the show, isn't it?
Another 3 minutes.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. Woo! Oh, wait, I better check and make sure the stream is up.
Yeah, always check your stream.
Just don't cross them.
It's up. Ooh, it's a good thing. Oh, Joel, you're on your way soon, aren't you? Man, I wish I was.
Next week, I'll be leaving out. I'll finish packing after the show, probably.
I wish I was going too, man. I'm so bummed out. Like, I can't freaking believe it's already here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy moly.
And because hardly any of you guys are going, I'm probably going to get quite a bit of sleep this time, too.
Holy moly.
Just go over to where the beer tasting is, grab some pizza, and then head back to the room.
There's some terrible beer. There was some really good beer, and there was some terrible beer there last year. the smart
mouth. Well, that's because everybody's taste is different.
Yeah, the Sweetwater cucumber was the most awful thing that...
That doesn't even sound good. Nah.
The Sweetwater cucumber IPA.
Nope.
Sheldon, hey, everybody say hi to Danny.
Who's Danny?
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Danny Meeks.
Oh, Danny Meeks. Wait. Is that the Minix?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, good on Danny Meeks, man. He contributes a lot in MeWe. So, good job. Good job. So, we should...
start the show.
Yeah, we should
have Danny Meeks Day.
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Here, I'll give you a count around there, Danny. Are you ready?
No, I'm not ready yet. Hold on.
He doesn't even know what day it is.
I'm back.
Do you know what episode it is?
Do I know what episode it is?
That's your job, Rich.
I don't know. I was doing other things.
You know, it's episode... You know, we're so far off. Like, a lot of times, like, I just, like, I know what... Like, minor number we're on, just the major number. I keep forgetting. Like, I always want to say 700, but we're at 812. Episode 812 today. For some reason, I want to go 712.
The Cockroaches of Podcasting.
That's it.
That's right.
Woo! I got some stuff for tonight, man.
I got a little bit, too. Dude,
nobody cares about the gas you got, Dan.
No, I wish it was just gas. Holy moly, today was terrible. Woo!
Is that why they make you work from home?
You shit your pants? Man.
I wish it. Hold on. You know, and it took me like a couple of months to realize this, but I made two of my machines have the same host name. I'm like, I didn't notice until like last week. I'm like, wait a minute. This stuff doesn't feel right. And I'm like,
the IP address and you're like, oh, fuck.
I'm like, how did I not notice before last week that both of these machines have the same host name? What did I do last week? What did I do?
You smoked farted. Some moisters?
Put a whole bunch of clips together.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember. What clips I put together last week.
It was the clip show.
Yeah,
quarter pound of meat in your mouth.
Ooh, I got something for Joel. I mean Joe, not Joel. That's something for Joe.
What you got?
Quarter
pound of meat?
You're going to find out in a few minutes, Joe. You're going to find out.
If he ever gets his ass ready.
Once he pushes play.
Yeah. Once I stop trying to remember what I want to set everything up to do.
So, Alan, is it cold there right now?
No, it's not. It's a little on the humid side, but it's not too bad. Not, you know, super humid, but enough that it's, like, warm.
He's got his air conditioning on. You can hear it.
I do have...
Yeah, and we just had the standard Florida heavy rain and thunderstorm roll through here.
That five-minute thing that happens every day?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, just another flash of lightning. But I don't know if the Hughes Compound Southern Command got any rain.
Man, we had a nasty storm rolling through here for like 10 minutes. I thought it was going to come with a tornado. It was terrible.
There's a roof right over my window, you know, that slopes down. So it's like a fire hose coming down in front of my window here.
Yeah, I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Joel,
ready to go?
You give me a count up and a count down and a count around and whatever you want to do.